Pray, Heavenly Father, we remember the salutation to Mary, which was said, all things are possible by the personal presence of God, and we know that the Holy Spirit, God Himself, overshadowed her, creating that egg and sperm within the womb, that she might bring forth your own pattern and divine strategy, all of it brought forth from that woman. Lord, we know there's a bride today, a true church, truly pregnant by the Word of God, that you might bring forth your image and your divine strategy of all the ages, Lord, starting in a people who must be made perfect somehow, because those gone on before will not be made perfect without us. And we know, Lord, that's true, and we stand here knowing that we keep singing the fact that you're here and all things are possible, knowing, Lord, that everything the prophet said is absolutely thus saith the Lord, and it is going to happen because of the divine work that you have done. Help us, Lord, now to bend every effort, bringing our minds under control and the bodies with it. Every spirit in subjection, we saw that too by the prophet. There wasn't one person could hide. Then, Lord, surely our spirits can be brought into subjection, Father, under the great Father of spirits, and live, Lord, and be a true bride. Help us as a true church this morning. We'll give you the praise. Help us to say the things we ought to say and refrain from what we ought to refrain. Couching, Lord, truth in the, not only from the Word of God, but in the Spirit of God. We'll give you the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now we are at number 8, I believe, this morning on Shalom. And we saw last night from the very short time that, portion of this message that Brother Branham is speaking on the hour in which we are living. And it is based on the fact that there is a true word and a false word. The gross darkness is in the world, death and destruction, and coming upon all but those to whom the light of God has been given and the glory of God has risen upon them. Now, we were back here on page 7 when we finished starting this paragraph here, going to page 8. In 43, it says, now to the church, that's the elect church, the true bride, the real church, the true vine, sons and daughters of God, the elect. The reason I'd say shalom to them is because that's God's peace. It's not something else now. It's God's own peace. Like we said last night, there is a love that's a false love. The Bible said, let love be without dissimulation, again said, with love unfeigned. So therefore, there is a hypocritical love. And it can look just as genuine as those false prophets produce that which is from the Word and based on the Word, but it doesn't come out of the Word. And there is a peace, too, that people can begin to satisfy and gratify themselves with based upon a false word, which can never bring the results they actually want, because the Bible said, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Now, you know that there are those who can actually make themselves believe a certain thing, and the devil will help them to believe a certain thing, and they'll have a certain peace. But I'm going to tell you, at the white throne there will be no peace, and after the white throne there will be no peace, because the wicked are like the troubled sea casting up dirt and mire. That's all they've got. You're going to produce what's in you. But there is God's own peace that's available. And God's peace, relaxation under the seventh seal, is believing a vindicated message. We have a vindicated message. It seems that too many people are ashamed of it. And it's catching up to them. And the fact of the matter is, though you heard me preach it for all these years, I have not preached it hard enough. And I don't live it strong enough. And I don't speak it up enough. The reason is because we just don't want to fuss at people and have people fuss at us. And that's a pretty good reason. We'll look at that in a minute, though, when we get to what Brother Branham says about that. But there is not simply a peace from God. There is God's own peace. Just like I said, Brother Branham was not a prophet of God. That's not true. He was God's prophet. You say, Brother Bale, you're splitting hairs. No, you're being foolish. I'm right, you're wrong. That's what he called himself, under divine inspiration, God's prophet. Not a prophet of God. They got dozens out there prophesying and everything else, leading people to destruction, but this is God's prophet. And when God was in the man, it was God prophet. Oh, brother, sister, this is not semantics. This is reality. This is why there's a revealed message. So it's no longer your stupid, cussed semantics. Living word. Absolute living word, creative word of Almighty God. There is what we have today. This same vindicated word is the same word that's going to get us out of the grave, because it's the same God with the same word. And when he left off in a message, he didn't change his voice, he didn't change his tone, he didn't change himself, he changed nothing. He stood right there and caused, and is now causing shortly, to bring the shout into full manifestation, which is the dead coming out of the graves. That's what you stand in today. Standing in it. God's peace. That's what I want to bring you this morning for the new year. I want to bring you God's peace. Wrapped up in a parcel. Handed on a platter. Here said the prophet to a little group, I'm giving you God's peace. You said, hold it, hold it, hold it. Hold it, hold it. That's, you see, what's wrong with you. You can't let yourself go. You can't let your thinking go. You can't believe God does what the prophet vindicated said he's going to do. I'm going to bring you this peace and give it to you. Paul said it's a ministry that's going to come. And he said, I know it. And he said, I wish I had a part in it. Manifested power of God that's going to transfigure people standing right there. Not like Abraham and his wife who stood there and then died of old age. But going back to youngsters, literally youngsters. Handed. Do you know what you're handling today, brother, sister? Listen to this word of God. Where are your ears that can hear? Where is your heart to believe? If that's not the way you were taught it, you were taught wrong. Say, would God really let a prophet do that? What do you think? A vindicated man would tell you a lie? God's integrity is such that he's worse than the devil? Allow his holy name to be used and no other name under heaven than the name of Jesus Christ whereby you must be saved. And that man used it time after time and something listened and something answered back. They say, well, Brother Branham really didn't do what he did with so-and-so. You, God help you. You don't belong in this place here. Get out of here. You to hear the tapes, rip them up. You haven't got a clue. Oh, Brother Bill, spirit's wrong. Oh, he's got the truth, but his spirit is wrong. How in the name of God can I have the truth missing the Holy Ghost? No, it's not on tape. There's a flame of fire over my head that nobody ever heard Brother Branham say, but this Bible opened my hand upon it, knowing there's a God in heaven. Challenge every single person. Look you right in the eye, every single one of you. Challenge you. Come up and stand beside me. I'm not lying to you. God's peace. I want to bring you this morning for the new year, not looking back. But we're looking forward to the breaking of a new day. What new day? Number 3. We've been through 2. And if you think it's going to take exactly 2,000 years, you don't know what you're talking about. Because a part of the day is counted as a whole day. If time has run into eternity, we are already into the resurrection, whether you want to believe it or not. And you say, but Brother Vail, I've got to see something. And Thomas said the same thing. And right in the face of the true resurrection, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And there he stood, and they said, who is this fellow? And one man said, and he was around him all the time, and even saw Lazarus raised from the dead, with his face sunken and everything else. And he stood there and he said, well, he said, I might believe. He said, yes, I could believe. In fact, I believe I am persuaded to the extent if I could poke my finger in his side and my fingers into the nail prints on his palm. He said, I believe. And this morning I heard another stupid sermon. Oh, every doctor will tell you there was no nail prints in Jesus' hands because, you see, he would have fallen off the cross. And so what they did, they stuck the spike in his wrist. And then say they believe that Jesus turned water into wine and Moses crossed the Red Sea? Those are liars. Absolute, filthy, rotten, stinking liars. Unless I can go back and find in the Bible someplace that the wrist includes the hand and what it said was, then put your finger in my hand, meaning the wrist. Do you think people like that would believe in a pillar of fire and a vindicated prophet? Hogwash. Fit emissaries for hell. Haven't eaten, they're just, by God help, haven't got anything on the ball at all. There's a breaking of a new day. What is this man, William Branham, talking about? He's talking about the book of Philippians. That's what he's talking about, the third chapter. Talking over here. In the third chapter, 9th verse, but me found in him not having mine own righteousness, which is the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That's Ephesians 1. Paul didn't get that in Galatians 1. Paul never got in 1 Corinthians 13, which we read last night concerning emblems of the Lord's Supper. He didn't get it. You understand what I'm saying? He didn't get it. He didn't have it. It's like Brother Branham said, we know he's going to do it. We just don't know how he's going to do it. And this man, the Apostle Paul, spoke beyond his knowledge, like all prophets do, until there comes a time for a prophet to come on the scene and reveal the word. Like John the Baptist did, we saw that last night. He said, I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. What are the fellowship of his sufferings? The greatest battle ever fought. The greatest battle ever fought. Jesus himself went down to Gethsemane. He said, Father, look, he said, let this cup pass away if it's possible. You know, people want to make Jesus less than human or more than human or God knows what. Why don't they just make him the man that the Bible said tempted at all points like as we are, yet without yielding to it? So he said, let this cup pass me. You want to fellowship the sufferings that's in the mind. Devil trying every trick he can to get you away from the revealed word of God. Don't tell me I don't know. I get my phone calls. I can't go to a meeting anymore. But people begin asking me questions. They should ask their own pastor and blow the whole thing. I know people only too well. You can't tell them anything. They don't want the fellowship of sufferings. They want to jump in the pig puddle. And they say, get me out of here. Only to jump back in the pig puddle again. Fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. What is his death? How could Paul be conformed to his death? He was born out of due season. He's looking down the road to the future. To be crucified afresh. To stand with the Holy Spirit. Right here, there in a pillar of fire, charging through a prophet with a vindicated word, standing right there, crucified with him. That's what he's talking about. Don't get your history all messed up. It's too late in the day. If by any means I may attain to the out-resurrection from among the dead, this is going to put him in the out-resurrection, brother, sister. Not a spiritual resurrection. which we have been through, but puts you in the outer resurrection from amongst the dead, which means puts you in the bride, the second half of the first resurrection, to rule and to reign with Jesus Christ. This is the truth I'm telling you. How could Paul suffer back there? He hadn't got a thing to do with it. He's talking of this hour. You think they didn't crucify William Branham? They wrote dirty books about him. They wrote dirty books about me. And some of you people sitting right here, you don't even believe me. You don't have to believe me. That's part of the crucifixion. Preachers get my tapes just to hear what's on them, use what's on them, then blast me behind my back. That's fine. That's their business. Long as I don't do it. But you wonder why this pulpit's closed. You bet it's closed. And if you fuss about it, get yourself another pastor, because you want to be pastor. You want to take my place. I'm just telling you flat, look, either I'm going to do it or you do it, and you're not going to do it. I can tell you that right now. I've got no chip in my shoulder. I'm just telling you a fact. Because I'm obligated. No, sir. I'll die by the grace of Almighty God, my living Jesus. I'll serve my own way. According to that word. He said, not as though I'd already attained. Certainly he couldn't. Or were already perfect. Certainly he couldn't. No way. But I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which I'm also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Fulfilling the ministry he's got. Live out his life in the place where God put him. And he knew it was the place in. And Brother Branham said, if I'd been given a chance, a choice, this is the hour, the age, the part of the word I would have picked. Just the same as Paul would say, I would have picked this hour. How content are you this day with the peace of God in this word, the prophet handing it to us? I wasn't content for a long time, but I'm elated today. I'm very, very happy. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. My course isn't over yet. I'm going to tell you one thing. He said, I don't dwell on the past. And I can't have the future. So I just forget those things that are right behind me and just keep moving on, moving on. I forget my breakfast and enjoy my dinner. And when I have my dinner, I forget my dinner and enjoy my supper. And if I feel like a snack at night, I forget my supper and I have my snack. Next morning I wake up and I forget my snack and I enjoy my breakfast. Exactly. He was a meat and potato Christian. And anybody in this message is not a meat and potato Christian, you are not in this message. Always looking back, always looking forward. How do you account for preachers that fought the presence for 14 years? No, 11 years. No, 11 years. And now suddenly it's right. They don't even know the judge is here. The judge. The avenger. They didn't know when Brother Branham was discerning that was not Brother Branham. That was not a gift. That was judging. And he stood there and he said, you couldn't hide if you tried. Took 5,000 to 10,000 or 50,000 people. It wouldn't matter if there's 1 million. Not one could hide. Was that William Branham? That was judge. What are they talking about? But he said, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He couldn't get it. What was the prize? Immortality. Oh my, immortality. You people, is there anybody here that doesn't want to exist? Well, put it this way. Are you a philosopher who can sit in the seat this morning and you can say, well, I really don't exist, and the person beside me really doesn't exist, and nothing really does exist, because it's all non-existent. You say, now that's literally too stupid. There are people who are just that stupid. See? Press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling with God in Christ Jesus. Absolutely, that is at hand right now. We're not looking down the road, we're looking right here. And that's what I was referring to. Always looking ahead, always looking backward, but they don't understand what's going on. This is one reason I teach Brother Branham's message is word by word and will not change my method. If you want another method, be happy to go someplace else. Nobody holds you. You're going to have the whole church. I'll simply walk out and preach to six people or nobody at all. I'll talk into a microphone and get on tapes. Somebody wants it somewhere. No problem. I just want you to know, brother, sister, that this is no fooling thing we're dealing with. This is not set up by a society called a church. This is not something you vote on. This is something God ordained. Thus saith the Lord. And it's word upon word. Vindicated word upon word. All right. We're looking forward to the breaking of a new day. We're into it. The third day. There's something great laying ahead of us. Over the years, it has been with joy we've looked toward it. The pressing coming of the great light. And now we can see it breaking over the horizon. And Brother Branham, the light, toward the light, was crucified. They wouldn't give him his vision any more than they gave John. Or they gave Jesus. Breaking over the horizon into a realm beyond. Far beyond. It's breaking now what's it doing? It's breaking between mortality and immortality. We see it breaking between heaven and earth. From an earth bound with sickness and trouble into a bright shining day. Millennium. One more day. And it's mingling. You really believe that? You got to believe it if you believe the message, because he said it's joined together. Now, just the fact that you accept it will start you on the right road. But if you ponder it and doubt it and try to look here and look there, you have already missed it. Now, take my word for it. You've got to accept it. Never mind what your friends have said, your father, mother, say, or anybody else. I wish you were my age and didn't have any parents or relatives that bug you. But most of you got relatives that bug you. They want to be the leader. Well, follow them. I can tell you where you're both going to go. That's the truth there and no place else. No other man had it. We see it breaking between heaven and earth. We're no trouble with sickness, but there's a bright shining day of immortal life coming. That's the millennium right there, because from then on you don't number time. To an immortal earth that'll never pass away, just like our bodies. It's Revelation 10:1-7 that's come into view. It's shalom unto the elected church. Now it's light time coming for believers, but a gross darkness for the people. What it is. Just like, remember, the cloud of light that steered Israel across the land was utter blackness to Egypt. And they tried to follow Israel to their destruction. There will come a time too late when people want to follow this message. The bride will be gone, and it's too late. There are those who hold out a certain hope when Brother Branham gets back, such and such will take place. Let me assure you this, that premise is wrong. When Brother Branham gets back, it's too late, period. You had better be ready. Paragraph 44, the other day we were talking, the wife and I. We were talking about the hour we're living in. Now, the reason I chose this place, that's Sierra Vista. I felt like I could just let down my hair, so to speak, and talk to you. See? This seems to be the most pathetic time that I could think about. Of course, because of what's upon the people. Now, we're going to watch paragraph 45 very closely. I have constantly done my very best to try to, in disagreeing with a man in religious terms, but if I couldn't take his hand afterward, no matter how sharp the thing might be, and take a hold of his hands and say, this is in the light of a better understanding between us, and still love the person, not to just say it from my lips, but from my heart, then I'm no subject at all to go out there and try to talk to people. You hear what he said? You heard it. The amen means you heard it. The amen doesn't mean you know what he said, or that you're willing to go and do it. So I took it as amen according to the simple question. You heard what I read. Because, see, we must do that. We must love the person. See? Now, love's going to come out of the Word. So you better know what the Word says in relationships inside the church and outside the church before you swallow this hook, line, and sinker in some foolish day's manner and come out in a wrong way. Because the love can only come by the Holy Ghost shed abroad in your heart by a revealed Word. So you better know what the revealed Word says. Now here's the prophet talking. Because, see, we must do that. We must love the person, see? And going amongst the people in all kinds of classes and different cults and clans. So to the eyes of the Word, we are cults and clans. And say that. Just tell them we are offhandedly. But we're not. We're the true bride of Christ. And religions and so forth and trying to lay the Bible down and say, let's discuss it from, not from your creed or your book of ethics, but from the Bible. Now watch. Maybe sometimes a man gets up real sharp. But if I got one thought I didn't like that person, then I will know one thing. The Spirit of Christ has departed from me. If I can feel that I don't like that person, there's something wrong with me. Now listen carefully. Let's look at this picture. Brother Branham says, if I, in dealing with the Word of God, and he said, any preachers that uses the Word as the club is a hypocrite. Now you might think I'm a hypocrite because I get a little bit tired of people making me a liar to what Brother Branham said about me in my ministry. And if you people are of the shape where you cannot have faith in me, that believe me, I would tell a lie up here. I want you to do me one favor. Please find a man you've got confidence in that you can believe. And I'm inviting you to do it, not trying to hurt anybody. But you understand what I'm saying. I've got to be true to any ministry Brother Branham said I had. There was a time when I could have called witnesses. I didn't bother. You don't have to believe anything. Now watch very carefully. Sometimes a man gets up real sharp. But if I got one thought I didn't like that person, then I know one thing, the Spirit of Christ departed from me. If I can feel I don't like that person, there's something wrong with me. Now listen, can the Spirit of God ever depart from any born-again Christian at any time? The answer is no. Brother Branham said, when you break the speed limit, the Holy Spirit leaves the car. What is he telling us? That the influence of the Holy Spirit is broken. The intercessory qualities, now let's look at it over here, in Romans, the 8th chapter, 26, likewise the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knows what's in the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Brother Branham said to the woman who was praying all the time for a particular gift, like prophecy, he said it wasn't meant for you. You were praying for somebody else. The Holy Ghost was using you. Now you see what I'm saying here. The Spirit of God, the Paraclete, the one called alongside to help, that one who is in our hearts and minds and our lives, does not leave us per se, but the influence that he would exert upon a yielded spirit does leave us because we superimpose our spirit over his. Now, Brother Branham said, I must not let that spirit that he's got, very sharp, bother me. A woman sat with Brother Branham. She said, Brother Branham, why is it men are always trying to pick me up? She said, there's a man over there trying to pick me up. He says, sister, because he's got the same spirit on him you got on you. Now, what am I leading to? This man has a sharp spirit. This man deliberately is sent by Satan in order to upset you so that you will let his spirit get on you. And when that spirit gets on you, I'm not going to stand here and tell you it'll ever get off you. How long it'll take to get off you. The only clue I know is this, that Brother Branham said, you pray, he said, to those who prophesy wrong. He said, if your prophecy doesn't come to pass, You pray until that spirit gets off you because you have an evil spirit on you. And the person said, well, I was just opening my mouth and I was just, you know, trying to be under an influence of God. And just speaking, you know, like an anointed speaking. That is the devil, my brother, my sister. This prompting, it is not God. Now, let's settle that this morning and understand what I'm talking about. You get a spirit on you. I get a spirit on me. What happens? That spirit will cause you to pay a price and cause this church to pay a price. And I'm going to tell you this morning, you are paying a price right now because I let a certain spirit get on me because I got very excited over a certain thing. I won't tell you all of it because it would be kind of embarrassing. But I had the chance when I became very angry because I spoke more than once. I wanted the air cleared. The air was not cleared. The tension began to rise. Then that within a matter of hours, something in my heart said, forget the whole thing, let it blow over. I was very stubborn and very obstinate. I'm fighting that thing now, and you people in the pews are doing the same thing, or you are liars. I look you all in the eye. I've watched you. Not to the extent I could take every single one and make a mess out of you, because you're all, we're 99% messed up anyway. But you know what I'm talking about. Let me go to the Bible this morning and simply show you something over here in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, I think is what we're looking at. Now, I've been looking to God to help me to say the things I'm saying. This has to do with deacons and everybody else in this church. And it worked out perfectly while God opened my mind to this paragraph for this morning here. And I'm very, very serious and sober about this because this church is on the end. In the place of you could have very severe trouble if we don't get spirits under control. I know a preacher right now who already announced his congregation. He said, it looks like our church is going to split. And there are certain preachers behind that split. Now, you know you don't try that on me here, honey. I challenge you this morning. Get up here beside me. You say, Brother Bale, watch that spirit. I got a ministry. Nobody takes it from me. Nobody stands in my way. Don't ever try it again. It was tried before. Don't ever try it again. I'm rough, but I'm not meaning to be rough. I want you to know a few things. 3rd chapter of 1 Peter, pardon me not that. Listen, likewise ye wives be in subjection to your own husband. The word subjection is the same word used concerning Christ subjecting the church to himself. Which is the klusma, which is the shout, which is the revealed word? Wives. Your husband has the revealed word. You be subject to him. If he's not in the word, you can't be subject. Your soul's destiny depends upon it. But remember this. If your husband makes a decision that is not spiritual, that is wrong, the wife shouldn't fight it. She's under obligation. And I'm not fussing your women. I'm trying to give you the scripture. That if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the behavior of the wives. While they behold your chaste behavior coupled with fear. Now remember, it says right here that the husband must be obeyed in those things which the woman should be obedient to, knowing that the husband is the head physically, but there's a head beyond that which is Christ's revealed word. Now he's telling you how to win the husband. Whose adorning let it not be with the outward adorning of plaiting a hair and wearing a gold or putting on apparel. I'm saying that's wrong. It's just that don't try to use that as some little ploy. Pretty for Jesus or something. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. There again we see, when you talk about Abraham and Sarah, you got a double portion here, that Sarah was not in complete obedience to Abraham, who had the promise. She said, listen, Hagar's there, you take her. I don't like that. Even Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Whose daughters you are, long as you do well and be not afraid of the nation. Now put this onto the church, never mind women sitting here. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Now whether you want to understand or not, this is sexual. You might not like it, but there's 10 days a woman could be fertile. Proper birth control is of God. It should be understood. And men must learn to control themselves. And when they do, there must be some special blessing in it for them. You wonder why I brought that tape to your attention to show you these things? Because you will get the Word of God no other way than knowing the things that's lined up here. Listen, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel. You're talking about those things. As being heirs together of the grace of God, that your prayers be not hindered. You wonder why your prayers aren't being answered in your home? You got every cotton-picking problem under God's high heaven. And you think the sex is going to solve it. It isn't going to solve it. It's got to be the proper kind, proper relationship. Hindered prayers. The church fighting on the ropes, trying to survive. Because people will not acknowledge the Word of God as a conduct laid down. He's talking to the church. Heirs of the grace of God. Prayers can be hindered. It's bad enough when people go off the Word and don't listen to God. Their prayers don't get answered. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, when you begin to foment conditions in the house by disobeying the Word of God, and you think you can work it out by some kind of a little love you got in your heart, let me tell you this. Your prayers are not going above your nose. You're hindering your whole family. You're hindering the church. Your prayer is an abomination. And if you don't understand what I'm saying today, you better understand. I'm going to tell you, there's a void, funny feeling in your heart when you pray and you know you're not getting through. You know why some of you women and men can't pray together? Because you don't love each other enough. You simply won't do it. Get rid of your problems so you can really pray. Your prayer's not be hindered. You may get sick one of these days where you thank God you got a wife you can pray, a husband you can pray with. That's what Brother Brown is talking about. Let the Spirit get on you. You know what the Bible said about getting the Spirit on you? Agree with thine adversary quickly while on the way with him. Let your adversary deliver the judge and the judge to the prisoner, to the prison. And you won't come out before they pay the uttermost farthing. I'm going to tell you something, Brother Sister. When we get off the Word of God here, certain spirits come in, either me or you. You watch how the Word becomes sharp. It's like the Word, the water flowing over the rougher stones, the sharp stones that cause those little whirls and ripples and things. It's not leading me beside the still waters. Let's go back to the book of Timothy, I think I want. Let me show you something here. 1 Timothy, 3rd chapter. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, an elder, whatever, he desires the good work. And Brother Branham put the bishop and the deacon as one. The bishop must be blameless, a husband and one wife. He's got to be married. A bachelor can't do it. Got to have one wife. Vigilant, sober, good behavior, given to hospitality. Apt to teach. Not given to wine. No striker or greedy of filthy lucre. But patient, not a brawler, not covetous. One that ruleth his own house, having his children in subjection with gravity. That's the same word again. Let me tell you something about a certain man. And I consider a sleaze bag, and I'm sorry, but that's just the way I'm going to put it. His name is Swaggart. You know why I feel sorry for that man the same as I felt sorry for A.A. Allen? A.A. Allen never overcame drunkenness and liquor. But I read his life story, and I could have cried for the boy. His mother was an Annie Oakley, and she was tough and rotten. She left her first husband shacked up with another man. And they would get Allen and his brother rip-roaring drunk as tiny tots. So they'd roll around the floor and do crazy antics, and they laughed their food heads off. That's what happened to A.A. Allen. What happened to Swaggart? His dad beat him. His self-righteous, holier-than-thou, pontificating dad, who was so afraid his son might bring some disrepute upon him, or some shame somehow. He no doubt verbally abused the boy concerning sexual matters. thought as though he's already into it. Made it so degrading and so disgusting, no doubt. Listen, that's the pattern. Beating the boy up. Understand, when he even ran off and got married, his dad beat him up again. You men got tempers where you'd beat your kids over age? I never laid a hand on our kids past 12. I took them one day in their squabble and said, listen, you kids, you ain't got the brains of a couple of lice. If I've got to slug you into submission, but you're not big enough now to face life. You'll never be big enough. Young boys of 13 had their bar mitzvah. They were men. Better check carefully if you're fit to be a deacon. I mean it. You'll pay a price if you are not fit. The church will pay a price. Abusing a child is wrong. Abusing a woman is wrong. I don't care how you might want to flatten them, with the old left hook and the double cross right. It's far better to get so mad you break a plate or spit in the floor or something. Lay a hand on nobody. We're reading scripture. We read about women. Reading about men. Now listen, your kids can misunderstand. They think you're hounding them because you want certain things out of them. There's a big difference if you have them in subjection according to the Word of God. Like Brother Branham said, Billy Paul, you know I love him. This is your home. As long as you obey the Word of God. But he said, as long as you're doing, and this is God's house, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. You say, Brother Bill, I couldn't do that and have your kids committing adultery right in the beds in your house. What kind of people are you? I'm going to ask the question, what kind of people are you? See, you believe Brother Branham? Something's wrong somewhere. Now, I've watched some of you. You're raising your kids beautifully. With love and understanding. I can see a future for your children here that it won't be your fault if anything happens. You've said it all. You've done it all. Well, listen. Every deacon's got to come this way. There's special things laid down. But I'm sorry for Jimmy Swaggart. I believe it was his dad's fault that did it. Look, every child reared is a risk because they'll misunderstand. I don't know how they do, but they got a pension for doing it. They'll misunderstand. They'll come back 20 years from now and say, well, maybe Pop and Mom weren't quite as stupid as I thought. But the Bible says, honor your father and mother. That the days that God gives in this land will be good days. And I'm going to tell you, only a stupid, idiot parent would tell you, like I know a certain man told his son, all of his sons, get him upstairs, he said. But you, he said to the one boy, you're going to be a preacher. You can't touch women. Has any of your parents told you to commit adultery? To be wrong? Go on, get AIDS. Look, and I'm telling you what's going to happen. I preached years ago, people rotting, their pus dropping upon the ground, and the ground cannot cleanse it because the antibiotics are all gone now. The earth cannot cleanse itself. It's finished. You want to be in that category, or do you want to make God your rock? Listen, you parents, it's up to you to tell your children. I'm telling you. He said here, not a brawler, not covetous, patient. Children in subjection with all gravity. In other words, don't be foolish with your children. Don't let them think you're just pulling some rank on them. Have them try to help you. If the kids are getting sour, there's something wrong with the way it's being presented. If I found you turning into a sour congregation, you and I do, I'd apologize to you. And I'd leave you never to come back again and do my best to get you somebody that can bring you up. What I'm saying this morning is not to get you down, but I must say the things are in the Word of Almighty God. And whether I point all the fingers at myself and take all the blame to begin with, and I have a lot to blame, because I should know the tricks of the devil more than anybody else. not just sufficient to know what the Word of God says in a certain area. It's to know what is in every area, because something is required of us. In all subjection. In other words, with the Word. The minister that rules the church has the church in subjection. It's a word ministry. It's a shepherding. The father shepherds the family. If the hand is good enough to feed your mouth, it's good enough to correct your posterior if it's necessary. Although that is never required too often. Unless a child cannot be talked to. I've seen them where you can never talk to them. There's no way. Plead with them. Cry with them. Pray everything else. But they'll come back later and want your money. Oh, yeah. Pray with your children, grandchildren. Watch their faces while you pray. But later down the road and they messed up with sin and debts. Oh, how the hand is out for everything you can take you for. Kids, listen to me. God have pity on you. I'm like Brother Branham this morning. I feel sorry for what's here. I look back and I didn't have the least bit tough to what you got. I didn't have to contend with those 200,000 spirits released at the River Euphrates to a degree we do it now. But you've got so much, and parents are so responsible. And I'm saying the majority of parents here are fantastically wonderful parents. I'm very, very happy for you and love the children and think they're marvelous. If a man not know how to rule his own house, how should he take care of the church of God? If he's a strepers at home, he'd be a strepers in church. He'd be a cotton-picking legalist. Forget it. Not interested. We run out of deacons? We'll import some. Joe moved down. Joe's learned a lot in the last 7, 8 years. There was a time when old Broody Bale, you're wrong. Said, okay, I'm wrong. You'll find them right. Brother Bale, you're right. 2 times he was a changed man. I can give him wrong advice. Never told him a lie. Still haven't told him a lie. Don't intend to. I had a man, preacher, some of you know him, told me a lie the other day. Yet he can come to my home. But his spirit's not going to get on me. Mm-mm. Be careful, little child. It's getting late in the day. Not being an novice, lest being lifted with pride, he fall in condemnation of the devil. Some of you brethren ever felt at times you knew more than anybody else? I'll tell you one thing. I challenge any person in this church to challenge 2 men in this church. That's Pete and Lloyd. And it'll go down the road. I've never heard anybody in my life take the Word of God and handle it in a precise way, so that in 5 minutes, he could do with that word that almost seems impossible. That's Greg Sluice. I'm naming a few names. You ever seen anybody work like Dave Osmick? I don't know how he does it. I don't know why he just don't take the cooking over and give Ruth a holiday. How many jobs does Joe do? That's just naming some. There's others I could name too, and you're not disregarded. It's just as pastor, I want to let you know very emphatically that there are certain people I believe have a handle on this word, having listened to them and talked to them, in a way that I marvel at. And I'm highly gratified. And I'm highly gratified with every single brother that ever stood up here and took 5 to 15 minutes. I am more than gratified. And I can say this, I believe there's some in the audience sitting here that you could do about the same good job, but not in the category of Brother Clausen for 15 seconds. Now, that's not to just make him feel good, but it's the truth of the matter. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't say it. Because I don't have to butter him up. There's no necessity to butter him up. Why should I butter anybody up? He can't give me any money or anything. He's younger, but he can't give me any cell injection. He can't say, here, Lee, he's 10 of my best years. He's already had them. Just the truth. Now, don't feel hurt if I say these things. As I say, there are people sitting here that never had a chance. And I know that you'd startle me with your ability. And let me say this further. You had better startle me or I've wasted my time. That wasn't nice. Oh, yes, it was. Oh, yes, it was. It's the truth. Word upon word is being piled up. Now, Brother Branham said, if a man is sharp, he said, I must not under any condition answer him in kind. Let me go a little further. He said, one day I went to the cave to pray for Dr. Davis. He said, the man had said some terrible things. So I went to God and I prayed for Dr. Davis' soul and for his sake, lest he would reap what he was sowing. Oh, my brother, sister, listen. It's being crucified with Christ in this hour. What the prophet laid down here is ever so true. But let me tell you something. We pay a price for listening to the wrong spirits. And we have a spirit that's been allowed of God, but is not of God. And that spirit, because it animates the body, and because it's the link to the mind and the soul, it'll do everything it can to deceive you. That's its job. Very tricky, very nasty. Dogmatic spirits are very wrong. Some people might think because I preach the way I do, I know more of this message than anybody living. That is not true. Not true at all. I don't believe that. But I have to believe what the prophet said. And I don't believe I'm going to teach anything but what he did say. And by the grace of God, I can look behind what is here and tell you, as I'm trying to tell you this morning, and to let you know why the prophet said it, because it is true. If you are born again, the Holy Ghost cannot leave you. You've been sealed in. But the influence of Romans 8 is off of us. The protection of God's hand upon the wheel at 65 miles an hour in a 55-mile zone. I'm sorry, but it isn't there any longer. You may get away with it, thinking we do. Maybe like one smart fellow said, look, bless God, when I'm behind the wheel of a car, I'm not under law, but under grace. Was the word of a smart aleck. Another Pentecostal preacher told I could always talk a a patrolman out of a ticket. And he went down the road knowing he was going to break the law. Now, that's very touchy. I could skirt that one because I've done it myself many times. I say, let's talk about something interesting, something like you've got. But I'm not a legalist. I don't commit adultery and say, well, hallelujah, God even forgave David. And you spit on the floor and you're going to hell. Look, that's not the way this church is operating. I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'm right, I'm right. You're wrong, you're wrong. You're right, you're right. That's all. And the beautiful thing is we can be right. Now watch what he said. Now listen, he's relating it to the Alpha and Omega. Because the Spirit of Christ, when they crucified him, and his own people driving the nails. Now watch, his own people driving the nails. I thought the Roman soldiers did it. Who were behind the Roman soldiers? So the Roman soldiers are exonerated. Brother Branham said, I understand, he said, anyway, to a young man. He said, look, he said, if you're conscripted, you go to war, and you kill somebody, you will not be blamed, but your government will be. I do know he told a man, it was a friend of mine, who quit his job and said, I cannot do what the company wants me to do. He said, you do it. You're hired by them. You listen to them. They will answer to God. So who crucified Christ? Paul tells us they both crucified and killed the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jews did. See, they took on the Roman spirit. And they used the Roman spirit. And that's what the church is going to do at the end time. They're going to use that Roman spirit the Roman complex and think they're going to get away with it. Now listen, and his very creation he created was putting the nails that he created back into his human flesh. And with a heart full of love, he cried, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Now that's what I'm talking about concerning the love shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. If it doesn't happen through the Word of God and the light in it, although look, you and I can put on a good front, and so we should. And we should diligently try. We must keep our spirits. All of this there. But I'm trying to say, listen, there's already a motivation in this Word that makes us to know, as I've already said, hey, that spirit doesn't have to control us. I don't have to listen to that spirit. I can keep my spirit through the power of God. See? It then comes out of that love, which is in the Word. Because the Word said, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. You see? Now look. Let's go over here to Matthew 12. This is to the Gentiles. The original. Watch. Verse 22. Then they brought a man possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, he healed him. Insomuch the blind and dumb both spake and saw, and all the people amazed, said, is not the son of David? And when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. When Jesus knew their thoughts, he said, every king divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, and so on. And then down below in verse 31, to the end time message, wherefore I say, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. What about that? Brother Branham does not abnegate it. They are going to do it. But he's talking in terms of presenting this message to people who perchance might just listen. Not that they'll believe it. They may come back against you. And he said, now that's the time to watch yourself. Because you can get the same spirit on you that's on that person. Which is a spirit of unbelief which comes out fighting. Lying. Stand with Christ alone. Stand with the crucifixion. Stand with the word of this hour. And like Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know they're blaspheming. They don't know. Some little poor person says, you know, I believe I blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Brother Branham said, when you think that, no, it's positive proof that you haven't. These people don't even know they've done it. You think the Nazarene and the Missionary Alliance Church believe they blaspheme the Holy Ghost? They certainly don't believe it, but they did. And Brother Branham's vision saw the Nazarene church, which is the same as the Missionary Alliance, making love to a corpse. Come on, brother, sister. Not babies any longer. They can blaspheme. But Brother Branham is teaching us here, look, remember, don't yield to the spirits that are out there. Don't yield to a spirit that gets in your home. Don't yield to a spirit that's on your boy or on your girl. I know a certain guy, there's certain people here sitting can tell you, a certain preacher. He had a little bit of an idea that his married boy, was committing adultery. So he spied on him. When he caught the boy in the act, he beat his cotton picking teeth in. I want to ask you a question. Did that father do right as a minister? Uh-uh. They that take the sword perish by the sword. They that take the fist shall receive an uppercut or a right cross to put you out of the ring for maybe 4 days in a coma. Not obstreperous, not fighting. Standing for the truth, yes. Never turning, never bowing. And not full of a false love like some greasy politician. But just honestly, sincerely handling the Word. Now, here's where we start, with honest, sincere handling. The passive. From there we go to the honest, sincere handling, which is in a conduct. And the prophet did this, and I know because I watched the prophet. Paragraph 47, we're going to quit. And I've come to that spot, I believe, that people don't know what they're doing. That's today, the Omega. It comes to the time to where the human being has looked like become such a subject to evil until it's a pathetic thing. It seems like there's a shadow of darkness just over the people that presses them. Like, for instance, this one thing, crossing the nation and speaking. The Lord God identifying, vindicating His Word. Showing that it's exactly right. And never let anything be said unless it came to pass exactly what He said, speaking it right into existence. If necessary, sure it did. And so forth, as He's been doing. And people sit and look at that and continue right on in their same condition. Now, brother, sister, what are you going to do to people that turned on vindication? Well, if they keep bugging you to try to change your mind, you just say, hey, listen, we've been through that. And you and I can fellowship, but not on the Word. Unless it's a Word that you both and I agree on. The fact that the blood was shed. There is one God. There's no eternal hell. There is a resurrection coming up. But if it bugs you to talk about a vindicated prophet, so that you, thereby denying him, feel free to look into other men's writings and all, and say, this is mine, bless God, and I stand here as a real solid person, and no vindication, brother, sister. Just sweetly call the whole thing off, learn to roll with the punches. Remember, I talked to a certain fellow calling me all the time. Finally got a little bit upset with him. And I let him know just where I stood. I said, look, I believe in a vindicated prophet. And I put it so strong, he never phoned back for a long, long time. When he did, he apologized. Well, he's learned he can't get anywhere attacking Brother Branham. So he says nice things. But he lets me know all the books he's read of all the fine scholars. And you know what, brothers? Let me tell you something. If you want anybody that comes near anything to proving anywhere the Bible just might be true, there's only one person to read. That is Spurgeon. No other preacher but Spurgeon. Don't bother reading Wesley. He prayed for his horse. A few people have got healed. And in his meetings, the people got such a spirit of antichrist on them. The actual history said they ran like cats, bounded up walls, scratched their way up walls, ran along the ridgepole of barns, bounded down 30 feet, and screamed running like cats. Completely devil-possessed. Under Evan Roberts, the great Welsh revival, institutions were filled with the devil-possessed and the insane. Under Spurgeon, he would walk into an institution for the insane and pray such an awesome prayer before God that the insane would come out sane. And Spurgeon said, it is my job to believe God for the impossible and leave the results up to Him. If I was going to talk about any man as a man who would lead me in the Word of God, I would go back to Spurgeon and nobody else. You say, what about Charles Price? Forget it. What about Wigglesworth? Forget it. Walter Roberts? Not interested. Go on back to the old Puritan doctrine. Go back to truth. And you'll see a man who, made 20 years after he was dead, the congregation was still rising, praising God for the miracles of healing. Yet these men would try to tell you, I've got some great scholar you should listen to, who can take the scripture and weave them back and forth the way I like it. You know something? I hope very few people like the way I weave it back and forth, or I know I'm wrong. I said for many years now, if everybody believes the presence, I gotta be wrong. They don't know what I'm talking about. Not boasting, just the truth. They don't know what I'm saying. Yet it's all there before you, simple as ABC. Man came to my house. He said, Lee, what's this Prussia business? So I said, well, Brother Brown spoke of it all the time. He said, my minister declared that he is here. Well, he said, if you mean he's here, the Lord Jesus Christ himself in the form of the Holy Ghost, he said, what's wrong with that? Yet the preachers don't know as much as that man who sits all by himself because he said, there's nobody out here preaching. The preacher was so insane, he took this man's daughter aside, and he said, you have no right to conduct your father's business. You're a woman. Get out of that business. Can you understand that preacher saying that when Brother Branham told Al Arnett's wife? He said, Aggie, you know business. You do the business, but listen to Al and spiritual things. And that's just one out of two cases. I want to ask you a question. What's the matter with these preachers? You know what's wrong with them? They can't be born again. I'm not here to judge anybody. Something's already done the judging. If the Spirit of God has told me that that's an organ and told me that's a guitar stand, I'm not going to say, well, you know, people, that happens to be a jukebox. No. I'm not judging because I tell the truth. You're not judging if you understand the things of God. Brother, sister, you better have something to judge with. Peace. So, Brother Vail, that's kind of a rousing kind of a message you gave. I don't have too much peace concerning the things you said. Oh, yeah. No problem. Now that we're aware of these things, we just simply go to the Word of God and say, yes, Lord. They're there. I admit they're there. They're part of my life. The minute you look at it, the ghosts begin to disappear. The power of the unknown begins to fade. And the power of the known takes precedence and authority over the power of the unknown. Because at the end time, it is a knowing, not an unknowing. Understand what I'm saying? Feed on the Word of God, brother, sister. Don't be afraid of any part of it. I've not been afraid to unload my soul this morning and tell you. I haven't told you everything. I don't need to. If you're smart enough, you catch things. But I want you to identify with the Word of God spoken. And if you feel you've been hindering in this church, and it's coming out of your home, your life, or something, I just say one thing. It's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. Unless you do something about it. Unless you recognize. Doesn't make you a filthy person. I'm not talking about it. Doesn't destroy you as an individual. It puts you on track with reality. There's only one reality. I am the way, the reality, and the life. That word truth is reality. I am the way, the truth. That's not really the definite form. I am the way and the reality. What is real? There it is right there. Everything else is going to get shaken down. The Lord help us today, brother, sister, to look forward to a church that God is building, not man. But the Word is building my life and your life. It had better. It had better. God didn't take a cat cell and add a dog cell to a human cell. Neither does he take anything but word upon word upon word to the bride. And neither will the bride be anything but the word. She'll be glorious. Where we stand today is not the problem. How do we discern today, knowing that tomorrow what we have applied in this word will come forth in human flesh, and we will be the living epistles of God's own word. We can be, brother, sister. What I've said today is not to destroy hope, but to bring things to our attention. Because if I were saying, and I use myself as an example, if I were saying that to destroy hope, I would not say it. I'm saying it because I know we have all problems. We can enumerate many problems. But there isn't a problem that doesn't have a solution in this Word. The Lord help us all to be Word members of Christ. Let's rise and be dismissed. Gracious Heavenly Father, we've taken time. And I believe, Lord, you opened the door to speak these things which are more far-reaching than our own church here. Knowing, Father God, that there wouldn't be one church that doesn't have abundant problems. Pastors that look around them and wonder why they aren't more models to a congregation that's more model than the pastor is, and I stand in that very light. But I know, Lord God, whatever has come forth in any person is due to grace and the life of the Word. And there isn't one of us here that cannot apply in some direct order that Word and stand waiting, Lord, for you to bring the consolation and hope out of the Word, that we might be those living epistles read and known of all men, which we are actually, but to be known that were written of you. Father, help us to be so concerned with this Word and the faith that lies in this Word of what the life in the Word will do in the vessel that harbors the Word. That, Lord God, there's going to be a bride and is a bride standing here right now that's already vindicated and indicated as a virtuous virgin, never having sinned, bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day it's going to be absolutely proven to every single person. Mortality is going to give way to immortality. And there won't be one bride that misses it. And there'll be a group of people standing here, Lord, having crucified the minds, while the world is crucified, the Son of God afresh, put him to an open shame by absolutely denying his presence, his authority, his power, his vindication, and his revelation. For a little bride stands in that crucifixion to come forth in the same glory and honor, to sit in the throne. Father, we're glad that we have heard the call, the scriptural voice that knocked on the door, and we made a way, not because of anything we are, but because of grace, that we could get together and sup with you, which is indicative of sitting on the throne with you. Lord, that is the most amazing thing anybody could even begin to look at. To open the mind, the door, the soul, to the one amongst us, and share a throne. Now, Lord, if you're willing to do that for us, then ought not we be willing, Lord, to open the door of our throne and put you on it? So we say this morning, come in, Lord Jesus, as you've never come in before, and take your rightful place in every single heart throne in this building. So, Lord God, we have that real spirit the prophet said was upon you, that he just wouldn't let any sharpness or anything come out of him, knowing that the people were in this utter darkness, and they would bring upon themselves eternal destruction because many, if not most, would blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Father, give us that compassion the prophet had. Let this pulpit be full of it, Lord. For I'm not doing my job, and I want to do my job, Lord. It's not enough to stand up here and say, well, I preached the Word and that's it. I want my spirit 100% right, Lord. And I can't help what goes on in the congregation any more than they can help what goes on in me. Every man stands on his own, Father. And I'm obligated this morning, regardless of anything and everything, to just put away everything, Lord, that ought to be put away. Everything past, count it done, because that's what it is. By grace and faith, reach to the resurrection. because we're literally in it. Father, bless each one this morning. We pray heal all the sick amongst us, Father, all those that have problems. We know you take care of problems. You take care of mine, Lord. You're very wonderful and good. Now may the love of God, the peace of God, the gentle fruit of the blessed Holy Spirit that already has the conduit of word in our hearts come forth in these earthen vessels. And unto you we'll give the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. Take the name of Jesus with you.